And I want to welcome everybody to the XRP Unplugged episode for today. As all of you know, the XRP is a part of XRPArmyNews.com. And you will be able to find us within the on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and other your podcast sites. So look forward to that and look us up. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you push the right button so we can climb up through the scale. Today's guest we have today is Wendy O, or Crypto Wendy O, as some of you may know her. And a very interesting discussion about how Bitcoin plays in world cryptocurrency marketplace. Now, I'm looking forward to that. So let's meet Crypto Wendy O, or Wendy O, right now.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for having me. Wendy O, appreciate it.
Welcome to the XRP Unplugged. We're glad to have you here today, my dear. So I understand you are from the left coast. Is that right?
Yes, I am from the west coast. I am from California. I'm a Southern California girl. And yeah, I'm out of LA and I'm happy to be here.
Well, and during all the time you've been out there, now I used to live in San Juan Capistrano.
Okay.
And so I was there for several years and then moved up to the Central Valley. But I was a little shocked because I moved there from lived in Southern California area all your life?
Yep. I've been here all my life. I was born and raised in San Gabriel Valley. And yeah, I've been able to travel and do different things, but LA is my home and I don't know if I'd be able to live anywhere else. I know it's a lot cheaper to live in other states and that's fine and dandy, but I love the weather. And when I've been in snow or been in cold states, it's like, I'm used to my California weather.
I know the feeling. When I moved there, it was in late November, and moving into San Juan Capistrano, I had a young son, and on Christmas Day, we went out body surfing, and it didn't feel like Christmas. You know what I'm saying? Okay.
Yeah. It's very nice and warm here.
Oh, yes. I also understand that you have family, some young children that you shepherd along the way.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about your kids.
So I have, I'm married. My husband has two kids from previous marriage, but they're a lot older. And then I have a daughter, she's 3 years old. So she lives at home with us. So that she takes up majority of my time. Hanging out with her, and we do a lot of learning. We talk a lot about crypto. She's very into music. She's very into Willie Nelson, into Ray Price, into Waylon Jennings and George Jones, all the old outlaw guys. And she loves Stevie Ray Vaughan. So we do a lot of music, a lot of reading. And yeah, she keeps me preoccupied, very, very occupied. Everything's about her. And then I'm also in school too. I'm going to be finishing my last semester. So I'm a very pretty busy person for the most part.
You want to tell us what your degree is going to be in?
So originally my degree was in bio because I wanted to be a pharmacist, but then I saw how much the student loan debt would be to become a pharmacist and the time it would take to do it. So I says, I'm not going to do that. Let me just do business. Let me just finish my degree, because I was going part-time for a long time when I was working. So I went ahead and I switched to business, and then I switched to economics. I didn't really like economics. I like working with people. I like talking to people, and it didn't seem like a good fit. So then I was like, okay, let me take a look at, let's talk about finance. So then I started taking some finance classes and I didn't like that either. I was like, I don't know if I want to be stuck in a suit all day. Like, it just felt a little stuffy to me. So then I started doing a lot of marketing in the crypto space. So then I was like, okay, let me just do marketing. I'm already doing it currently. So I went ahead and started pursuing a degree in marketing, and I'm almost done. And the cool thing about that degree is I can kind of do almost anything with it. And I get to work with people and talk to people and, you know, whatever it is I decide to do in the future.
Well, that gives you all kinds of options. And by the way, to back up just a moment, I love your daughter's music. I truly, truly do.
Yeah.
I know that I joked about your T-shirt earlier. It looks like a Jack Daniels.
It's a Guns N' Roses T-shirt. Yeah, me and my husband, we both love rock. I grew up I didn't grow up in Hollywood, but I spent a lot of my time there when I was like 17, 18, 19, 20. So I had a lot of friends that were in bands, a lot of friends were musicians. So and I love music. So we do a lot of music in our house, and my daughter, I post some videos of her on Twitter, just jamming out and having a good time. I think she's got three guitars, two harmonicas, some drums, some literally she's got a piano that my husband's grandma gave her, and she literally has every instrument possible. She's got a recorder, drumsticks, all kinds of stuff.
So do you play guitar yourself?
I do not. It's so funny because both my husband and I were not like, we can't play. Like, my husband wants to learn to keep her for the baby, but his brothers were musicians. And then my sister can actually pick up like any instrument and play it, cause she's just so smart. And then my aunt's a guitar player, and my grandfather was a jazz drummer. So there's some music on both sides, but she just was able to pick it up, and she watches all those old those music videos of all the greats, and she copies them, and so she can play guitar, you know, not the best, but I'm gonna be getting her lessons pretty soon because she loves it.
Oh, that's fantastic! In fact, you know, I would have loved guitar. Actually, my degree is in music education.
Nice.
So music is very dear to my heart. Then all types of music. So. Anyway, be that as it may, now along the way, you've got the family, you've got your education, you've got the other stuff going on, and here you are with a crypto YouTube channel that is quite successful.
It's okay.
What happened to that? What happened there?
So I never thought in a million years I would have a YouTube channel, because I just kind of, it's not really me, but... So when I first got into crypto, I taught myself how to trade, because I was like, I don't want to get wrecked. I don't want to lose money. So I taught myself how to trade. So I started posting content. People liked it. And then I also noticed there was a need to host meetups and to host events in Southern California, because all the events and the meetups were like, you would have to pay. And I thought that was kind of ridiculous. So then I started doing meetups, and I was like, okay, well, what can I do to kind of get people to come to the meetup? So I started doing them at breweries, but I wanted to do I wanted to learn more about technical analysis and trading. So I kind of did a meetup, teaching what I knew about technical analysis and have other people come up and talk and whatever. So I would live stream those on YouTube. And then I had companies reach out that wanted me to do sponsored content. I was like, okay, this is cool. So then I started doing that along with streaming the meetups. And then from there, I just kept doing, I was doing like weekly market updates with Bitcoin. And then I was like, you know, I'm going to start doing news. I'm going to start having other guests on and do whatever. So I just, you know, kept doing it. And then the channel grew a little bit, and it's, you know, I'm at 5,000 subscribers now. So it's been growing and growing. And I talk about all different things about crypto, and I talk about technical analysis. I give my opinion on different things. I talk about women in crypto. I talk about, you know, pretty much anything that comes up that's crypto related. I talk about that, or anything that has like a libertarian ideology, I'd like to discuss it.
Well, you're also kind of you're starting to become kind of an activist within the crypto industry with the scam project. What is that scam?
So what happened was people in crypto are very bizarre. If you do any type of like marketing or paid promotion, they call you a scammer. And that's kind of, and they call anything that's not Bitcoin a scam, because you have all the Bitcoin maximalists being ridiculous. So I was like, this is kind of stupid. Like there are real projects that are scams, and there are real people that do actually scam people. Like, I've never asked much. I don't have a paid group. I've never asked anybody to give me money. I've never tried to open a fund. Like, we've seen so many people with paid groups that are shady, people with these fake funds that you give money to and they blow it or whatever it is they're doing. So I made a post the other day talking about like, there should be some website to where you can like, when you're interested in looking in a project, you can pull a project up and like see, you know, have information on the team. Like, did this person work at this project that, you know, actually did exit scam or actually hurt, like harm somebody? So the tweet kind of got a little hectic. And now I'm working with a couple other people. We're going to try to put together a website to where we have non-biased information where anybody can upload anything. Like, you can't just upload like documents and say, oh, this project, GFY coin, it's a scam. You actually have to have proof, like, you know, you have to actually show proof that, you know, this person intended to scam you, or this exchange exit scam, like documentation. So it's not, so there's actual proof. So people can kind of go on there and be like, okay, well, there's, you know, this happened, so I don't want to invest in this project because this person is part of the team. So stuff like that. We still haven't figured out all the caveats and all the little details, but it is something that we are going to work on in the future, because it is important to realize that they realize a lot of things. Just because somebody does paid content or is paid to promote something doesn't mean that they are scamming you. It's just they were some, you know, they want, the company wanted exposure and they paid this person to talk about it. And that's fine. Just as long as it's disclosed, it's fine. But that doesn't make that person a scammer. And there's actually real people in the space that are doing things to harm other people. And those people should kind of be held accountable for. And you should be known to the community that you, you know, if you're planning on starting, you know, a Ponzi scheme or like, a, you know, planning on or harming others, that you should, your name should be out there and you shouldn't be able to continue to keep doing it and to keep harming people. So that's kind of what we were, it's kind of what I was talking about. And I'm curious, you know, it's going to be really fun to see how this project evolves and to see what, you know, what we can do to kind of help the community.
Well, it's going to take a lot of research too, the process. I think, did you name it, what was it?
We haven't, that's just for like the Google Docs and stuff. Cause we have a Google Doc that you can go on and you can upload in from like a form and you can up, well, you don't have, you won't have access to the Google Doc. We're going to have access to it, but you can upload all your stuff. And then we have a bunch of, it's going to be a big group of people. No one's going to be making any type of money from this. Like we're going to have, we probably will have some sort of donations button to kind of keep the website host running and to kind of compensate the people that are doing the research. I don't know exactly how it's going to work yet. So don't quote me on anything. We're still in the very, very early stages, but I do want to be a part of something to kind of help others and, you know, to kind of make this space a little bit safer for people.
Well, I think it's fantastic. Now for those who are listening, whether it be, you know, now or in on the syndication, would you like to give them some way to reach you to participate in this in some way?
Yeah, so it's on, the tweet is on Twitter, and I'll probably, I'm going to actually move it over to my Telegram group. I do have a free Telegram group that we you know, you could post charts, you can talk about projects, you can talk about crypto, you can just talk about it, come in and talk about anything, and also do like, we talk about music in there too, because I love music. So I'm going to, I'll have that link in there, and then I'll have to get into my Telegram, all you need to do is go to one of my YouTube videos, and the link is in the description, and you can join, and, you know, and I'll go ahead and put that as a pinned message. But right now we're still kind of working on it. It's still super new. I don't know how it's going to evolve or what we're going to do, because it's literally, we just started it last week. So yeah. But if you are going to contribute, you can't just say, you know, I don't like this influencer, I don't like this person that works for the team. And you can't just call everybody a scam, because it's not, because we're just going to ignore. You actually need documentation, like, or proof that, you know, this person hacked me, or this person asked me for money, or this person ran off with my money. And like, you have to show some sort of a proof, like, because we can't, it's not fair just to call everybody a scammer, because they're not. Like, you do need to actually have proof.
Well, let me invite you now for our group. The XRP Army News has a large growing audience, and you would allow us to link to your site. We'd be happy to, because we have links to all kinds of sites, and it's a kind of a gathering place for crypto in general. So I offer you that opportunity in your group. Like to do that, we'd be happy to have you in the XRP Army News.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, the more help and more people that are interested in, you know, utilizing the platform, the better. It's just, there's a lot of things that we do need to figure out, like legal things and legal implications. So we want to make sure we do it correctly, and we want to make it free to everybody. We want to make it easy to use, but we also need to do it correctly. We need to make sure that it's handled as unbiased as possible, because, you know, we don't want to damage anybody's reputation. We don't want to damage our own reputation. And the way I handle like my business and the way I handle myself is I try to be as unbiased as possible. And I don't really like to call people out, but at the end of the day, if you're trying to intentionally harm somebody, then that's a problem.
Then you deserve what you get, right?
Yeah, correct.
Well, on to crypto in general. Now, Bitcoin tends to lead the way as for the rest of the cryptocurrencies in their rise and their fall. There's a definite pattern, especially on the X side. When Bitcoin goes up, XRP tend to go up, blah, blah, blah. Here we go. But now we're coming in very shortly to Bitcoin halving, should I say.
Whatever works.
Whatever word works, right? Now, how will that affect the other cryptocurrencies that are below it, because Bitcoin is on top of the scale. So
that's a loaded question. It depends, because I was actually covered an article yesterday that said prior to the last Bitcoin halving, price kind of skyrocketed and rallied, and then it had a correction. And then after we corrected, it kind of went ahead and skyrocketed again. So it really, really depends. That's what people are saying, what's going to happen with Bitcoin. And yes, you can look at charts, you can analyze based on, you know, prior price action, what happened, but you also have to keep into account the news and the current economy and what's going on as well. So it is kind of hard to say. And also we don't know if Bitcoin or if altcoins are going to be completely decoupled from Bitcoin at that time. That's another important thing to kind of consider and to look at. So it really, to be honest, it really just depends. Like that's why I don't like to make any kind of rash or crazy predictions, because I don't know myself. Like if I don't have evidence showing me X, Y, and Z is going to happen, like I can't make a crazy prediction. So I do think that Bitcoin is going to end up being like similar to the gold standard. I feel like a lot of people are going to invest in Bitcoin long term. And I feel like once price hits a certain threshold, it will kind of stabilize and become a little less volatile. But I think there will be another currency that we will be using to kind of send back and forth to people. And I don't know if it's going to be Bitcoin or not, just because I don't know if they're going to be able to fix the transaction speeds.
Well, of course, the theory that Bitcoin, because it is so volatile, it will be difficult to use as a currency for cross-border transactions and the ledger. And so how does Bitcoin fit into the ledger and the blockchain technology when it comes to cross-border transactions?
See, that is, I'm the wrong person to ask, because I am not a tech person. I am not tech savvy. I don't come from a tech savvy background. I do know that as far as Bitcoin goes, it's a lot slower to send back and forth, especially, I don't know necessarily if it's a lot slower to send back and forth across borders, but it is slower than receiving like Litecoin or Ethereum or XRP or some of the other currencies. So I can't comment on.
Okay, then tell me a little bit about the use cases for Bitcoin that you've seen cropping up. I saw one. I have a hosting site, because my business is digital marketing, by the way.
Nice.
And so in the process, I have a hosting company that just popped up with a Bitcoin payment option.
Oh, nice.
What do you see as the use cases for Bitcoin going forward? And can it really work into the banking operations, so to speak? That's kind of a term
about banking. So it really depends. Like Bitcoin and Ethereum, I want to say, are the only two cryptocurrencies that are not classified as securities by the SEC. Again, don't quote me on this, because I'm not a legal expert, but just from the research and the conversations that I've had, it's not. So I don't know how the banks are going to feel about integrating Bitcoin, because they can't control it. Banks and governments want to be able to have control, which is why we have the Fed, which is why every country has its own currency. So I don't know how Bitcoin's going to be able to fit into that. However, I do think that it's going to be similar to the gold standard. Bitcoin does hold its value fairly well for the most part. It's a lot easier to hold and to carry, as opposed to holding bars of gold. As everybody knows, technology is continuing to evolve. So I do think that in the future, people may want to not deal with gold and they may kind of move over to Bitcoin. So I can see that happening. And yes, you can send Bitcoin across borders and it does kind of help with that. But there are some things that we really need to understand. And that is, you know, the volatility. The volatility can be concerning to some people. However, Bitcoin does have a very, very, very low inflation rate compared to other currencies. However, if there is another currency that is created that is less volatile, something like a stable coin, maybe a privacy stable coin with a very, very low inflation rate, right, like Bitcoin, that has fast transaction speeds, we may see something like that kind of take over. But we are about, you know, 10, 11 years into it. So it's still very, very early. It's very, very early, especially with tech. Tech does take a little bit to evolve, especially once you integrate a new technology or a new system or protocol or any of that type of stuff. So it can take a little bit of time.
Oh, and it's going to take a little bit of time. That's what we're all kind of suffering through in the process from every transaction. We, of course, at XRP, look at it, our particular cryptocurrency as the transaction currency for the various transactions. But, you know, time is going to tell. And I know there's we have in our particular family or army, so to speak, those that just think that any other coin is absolutely forbidden, just don't even touch it. And then we have the XRP Army News that says, you know what, we have no idea what's going to happen. And let's just embrace cryptocurrency, because that's what's going to help all of us, not just one coin or another.
I mean, obviously, like there's some, like obviously there's some coins that like were created legitimately to scam people and to like kind of harm people. I don't really feel XRP was created in that sense. And I don't think, and Bitcoin wasn't created in that sense. There are some coins that are, that have done that, and it just were absolutely ridiculous, like the Plus token and stuff like that. So I like, and one thing I do like is I like having options with different altcoins. I think that's important for the market because it makes people want to be better. If there's no competition in the market and you don't have somebody to kind of challenge or compete with, then you're just going to stay stagnant. You don't want to stay stagnant. We want the space to evolve. We want the space to grow and essentially let the best man win, or woman.
Well, our woman. Now, how does, you know, when you get into transactions and so forth, there's this huge discussion about SWIFT and how it's going to affect how crypto works and so forth. Do you have an opinion on that as far as how SWIFT is to survive in the process?
It really reported on it a couple of times, but it, like at the end of the day, like I can't see the future. I don't know how things are going to evolve. If SWIFT has a better technology and it makes payments faster and it makes it easy for people and there's not a lot of volatility, at the end of the day, you want to take into account the middle class and poor people and people that are in like kind of economically unsafe places, or they're facing a lot of turmoil with their governments. You have to take into consideration that type of stuff. So you have to kind of throw all that stuff in a basket and kind of look at it in that sense. But you really want to focus. Me personally, I like to focus on, like, you know, essentially the underdogs, like a lot of people from the lower middle class and the poor people, because there's way more of them than there are the bigger class. And if you can figure out whichever company or whichever coin or product is able to kind of focus and reach out to, you know, the middle class community, that coin is going to be accepted and adopted. Because if you're able to have a really simple, really nice and easy looking UI UX, if it's easy to send back and forth, if it's seamless, like all that type of stuff is important. So once whoever's able to do that first and reach the masses, I think that's the coin that's going, or that's a product or service or coin that's going to come out on top.
It is. It does depend on its usability. Mm-hmm. What about regulations? You know, we are talking about it constantly. It's over and over and over. Not only the U.S., but the IMF and everybody else is involved in it. And you kind of go, all right, you know, are we going to settle this out? Or is this just going to be an ongoing discussion as for the regulations on cryptocurrency? What's your opinion on that?
So I have a lot of attorneys that come on my channel to talk to them, because I think that they're the real experts in the space, because they can kind of understand what's going on. And I also report on a lot of like legal matters in the space. So the Fed, the SEC, IMF, all of these, I know they're not all the same thing, but all these government regulators and all this legislation and all this stuff, they're very far behind. They're kind of living in the past. They're not really hip to what is going on today. I think I think it's good that they're getting involved in it, because we do need regulation. Because at the end of the day, there's never been a civilization or a country or a group of people that wasn't governed or wasn't controlled by anybody. So we're always going to have regulation. We're always going to have law. So I think that once we start kicking down doors and we start making progress, it's going to continue to evolve. And and the thing is like people are out here calling this coin a scam and this a scam. And, you know, I lost money here, I lost money there. And that's because there's no regulations. It's still like the wild, wild west. So once we start to get some regulations and some guidelines and this gray area kind of settled, then we can start to kind of move forward and continue to build, because a lot of these companies, they need guidance on where to go.
Well, that's what Bank of America is looking for. That's what Deutsche Bank is looking for, and I think they're hesitating now because there are no real parameters for them to work under. I know of a Bank America statement that came out last year, and it it was riddled with cryptocurrency as their forward moving area of concentration. But I think hanging back to somebody makes a decision. Now, when in the heck are they going to make a decision? You know,
there's an act. It's the Cryptocurrency Act of 2020, and they're supposed they're working on it now, and they're going to start. You know, they're going to start. They've already designated, like, the SEC, I think Congress and the IRS. They've already started designating different parts of cryptocurrency to these different structures. So we're going to start to see more things come out and more guidance come out, but it's going to take a long time, because at the end of the day, government takes forever to do anything, because they take forever to do things. So it's going to take a lot of time, and we need to kind of get more, we need to get more people involved that are in, like, local governments and stuff like that. So if you're in a, you know, if you go and you talk to your townspeople and your local representatives, you know, maybe get them excited about cryptocurrency and kind of help push that, that may help.
Well, yeah, when I talk to people about it, it's kind of like the deer in the headlights, you know. It's kind of like, what are you talking about? Isn't that a pyramid scheme? You know, it's kind of, okay, fine. Mm-hmm. You do not understand.
Now, it's a hard thing to understand. It's not easy.
The World Economic Development Forum is coming up here, I think, next month. I don't know the exact date. And cryptocurrency is actually woven into that particular discussion. And Mnuchin and several others are going to be a part of that. Are you aware of that forum or any of its parameters it's going to discuss?
That I am not aware of, so I would not like to comment on that. I try to steer. If I don't know something, I like to be honest and say I don't know or I want to learn more. So I would not like to discuss that because I don't know.
All right, good. Well, the forum probably don't know what they're going to do either. So it's kind of,
they literally probably have no idea either. So, I mean, I could probably make up an answer for you, but, and that would probably be more accurate than what they're saying.
Yeah. You can make up an answer and probably fit right in their non-report after they get back.
Probably.
Well, you know, there are all kinds of various forums and meetings and so forth. In Bitcoin, what's the next big forum that's coming up as far as the meeting of, Bitcoin itself,
like a conference or
a forum, a meeting, any kind of group gatherings at Bitcoin itself.
Okay, so I know they're having Bitcoin 2020, and that I believe is in March. I don't know if I'm attending this year or not. So I know that's coming. And then just any Bitcoin related events, I'm not 100% sure, because maximalists are great, but I don't really care for the toxic maximalists, because I feel like they feel like they're elitist and they kind of look down upon people who aren't as tech savvy as them or haven't been in Bitcoin or crypto as long. So I don't really appreciate that. So I like to go to things that kind of include everybody. But Bitcoin 2020 was a really, really great conference.
Well, you know, that those are always great to get people together with like minds.
Yeah.
But we have coming up, and I'll look over here. We have, the growth of the services industry taking on crypto as trading assets, if you will. It seems to be growing. We've got Fidelity and two or three others that have announced already, and they're carrying a Bitcoin. They're carrying a number of other cryptocurrencies. How do you think that's going to affect the crypto currency market as far as pricing goes when these security agencies take it on and start using it?
It depends. I mean, if the government, if it's legal and it's approved, then that's a good thing. But also, too, there's even more manipulation. Me personally, I know for a fact that lots of businesses and banks have been kind of interested in crypto, and they've been accumulating behind closed doors for very, 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 very long time. So this is nothing new. But I don't know exactly how it's going to end up playing out, because Bitcoin was created for the people, by the people, essentially. you know, that was Satoshi's vision. So I don't know, like I can't give an answer as to how this will play out or how it will work. It's good because it's introducing crypto kind of more to the masses because more people are hearing about it, but maybe there will be more manipulation in the markets. I have no idea.
Well, it one way or the other, it's going to affect the price. There's no doubt about that because when you get into some of the manipulators, if you will, like Fidelity, they will manipulate the market. I don't care what anyone says. So,
true.
Yeah, I tend to agree in that area. All right. Wendy, let me ask this. If you had anything that you would like to tell the audience about cryptocurrency, what would be the most important thing you could tell them?
Always do your own research. Always don't ever invest more than you can afford to lose. And just be very patient with the markets. Crypto is not a get rich quick scheme. It's real life. There's really cool things that are being built in the background. Come because if you initially come in because you want to make money, that's great. If you're here for the technology, that's great. But just kind of be kind to other people. And, you know, before you invest in something, make sure it's something that you understand and that you feel comfortable investing in. Never invest more than you can afford to lose. And don't blame it on anyone else but yourself.
Blame it on the currency. Blame it on yourself. I like that. That's the interesting statement. Crypto Wendio, thank you so much for being a part of this particular podcast. We appreciate your time from the left or the West Coast. And we're glad to have had you with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Christopher. We'll stay in touch and talk soon.
All right. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
All right. With our XRP Unplugged, there is a good from someone who knows Bitcoin and also knows the future of Bitcoin in the process. We were glad to have you here today joining us. And remember, when you're out there, always invest with your eyes open and your research done. I'll look forward to talking to you on the next episode. Bye-bye.